This is The Conference Job, a Leverage Supernatural crossover fic, written by Ty Lean and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated G and contains additional tags for Purim Gifts 2012. This podfic contains the text from The Conference Job Part 1, The Conference Job Part 2, and The Conference Job Part 3 as one singular podfic, as all three parts make up a completed story broken into parts for Purim Gifts. This lady over there, Hardison says, pointing sort of subtly at a spot on the other side of the room. Pretty sure she's working something on her own self here. Saw her when I was coming back from the men's room. She was checking something out behind the paintings in the hallway. Parker goes up on her tiptoes, craning her head to look over the room full of people. Elliot doesn't bother. He looks Hardison up and down instead.
The men's room again? Really?
What's your problem now? It costs you something that I'm going to the damn bathroom? Parker is still tilting herself into different angles, trying to catch a glimpse. Elliot looks completely undisturbed to be scowled at. Big surprise there.
I had a lot of soda last night, alright? Had to stay up ridiculous hours setting up this thing. You think last-minute planning doesn't cost you? Oh, it costs you. It costs you the lifeblood and sanity of the guy trying to lay in your fake history, is he here?
Lifeblood,
Elliot says. He doesn't have to say,
really,
again. His eyebrows say it for him. Hardison opens his mouth and closes it again a few times. No sound comes out. I see her, Parker says, back to standing flat-footed on the floor now. You mean the blonde girl, right? She's wearing a blue shirt?
Oh, her,
Elliot says, before Hardison can recover the power of speech.
Yeah, she's probably working a job. She's definitely carrying.
Parker turns to frown at him.
You saw her? You're supposed to tell us that stuff.
Elliot shrugs. Didn't think it had anything to do with us. Her gun's got salt in it. Heard about that before. It's a pretty specialized kind of crazy.
His face settles into the beginning of a frown.
No idea why she'd be checking the art if she's a hunter, though. Maybe she thinks it's haunted.
Aw, come on, Hardison says. A hunter? Guns with salt? That's an urban legend. You can't tell me you believe that crap.
Elliot's frown deepens into the usual scowl.
Do I believe there's a bunch of people going around thinking they're gonna fight a werewolf in a minute? Hell yeah, I believe it. It doesn't take believing in ghosts to believe they have salt in their guns.
Salt in their guns? Hardison mutters. Radioactive crocodiles in sewers under Brooklyn. I bet even Parker knows better than believing in that stuff. Parker? Where's Parker?
Great,
Elliot says, just as the Mark wanders into their line of sight, smiling and shaking hands.
Hey, Nate, we have a problem.
Are you here on a job? Joe flips the EMF meter shut in a hurry, trying to stomp down both on the urge to scramble and the urge to have a heart attack. She clenches her fingers around the top cover, where it looks like a regular cell phone, and forces herself to breathe.
I'm sorry?
There's a tiny scrap of a woman leaning against the wall near her.
Joe's been too focused on the lack of readings, senses dulled by the white noise of the crowd. She curses herself silently.
You've got rock salt in your gun, the woman says. She shrugs and pushes herself off the wall a little, not really coming any closer.
Joe fights against the urge to bring her hand any closer to the knife at her side. Sometimes a tell is worse than being caught empty-handed, and she's not going to start an all-out fight in a room full of so many people, if she can help it. Besides, her jacket is nice and long to cover up everything she's got in her belt and in her pockets, and if she grabs the knife, she'll have to take the time to move it out of the way. Long enough time to take care of any advantage surprise could get her. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I don't have a gun, she says. They don't really let people bring them through security, you know? Do I know you? The woman smirks at her. It'd be disconcerting if Joe wasn't already as disconcerted as she's going to get. She really is tiny. And Joe's lifelong history of being around hunters tells her for pretty damn sure that she's not a fighter. But she's something. Her body is poised, ready in the way that people are when they're in complete control of what every last bit of themselves is doing. And she knows something about Joe, but a hunter would be more subtle about asking it, just in case. And Joe still hasn't figured out what she's looking for here, so there's no real way to check if this woman is in it or not. She's also got something under her clothes, Joe realizes suddenly, looking her over while the silence stretches. Her clothes look professional, clean lines blending in just right into this room where Joe's own clothes just barely duck getting her some attention, but they bunch oddly in places. Barely detectable, but obvious once you notice. Body armor? Some kind of non-human add-on? Does she know any monsters that look normal but have an exoskeleton? I'm busy, the woman says. Joe blinks. Okay. The woman puts up a hand, like someone in the middle of an important phone call putting you off for a minute. Yeah, I know. We'll be okay. No, it's okay. I'll be back in a little while. She frowns at the wall behind Joe's left shoulder. I can't talk right now. Joe just stares at her. Then she remembers to start inching her hand closer to her belt. This is important, too, the woman says. Stop yelling at me! A pause. You were yelling. Almost there. The woman's eyes are nowhere near Joe's waist. She's still not planning on a fight, but she has no idea what's going on, and getting her fingers on something sharp is going to make her feel a lot better about that. There's always the possibility that this is all a ploy to get her distracted from someone coming up on them, but if that's it, that person's going to be in for a pretty rude surprise because Joe's hand is just... Her knife is gone. No, the woman says, scowling at the potted plant to Joe's left. She looks like she's about to kick the floor a little. Elliot can do that. I'll be back before we have to leave. Elliot, you can do that, right? Her eyes flick to Joe's, focus a little.
She rolls her eyes at her.
Then she turns away, still playing with... Well, she's playing with Joe's knife, and Joe would swear this lady never came nearer than 3 steps away from her, so, yeah, she's definitely in the zone of extremely freaked out and a little bit murderous now. I'm going away now, the woman says. Then raises her hand to her ear. Joe blinks again. That makes sense, probably. Except for how it really doesn't.
You're wired? She says. That seems both ridiculously mission impossible and entirely too normal.
Yeah, the woman says. Like, that's obvious. She frowns. We're supposed to, you know. An indecipherable gesture Joe can only assume is meant to indicate her ear. Subvocalize. But that just looks weird if you're standing in front of people.
Right, Joe says. Obviously, weird would be bad.
The woman nods, seeming completely at ease with their current place in the conversation. She smiles at Joe expectantly.
Can I have my knife back? Joe says. She can't believe she's asking that.
Huh?
Joe points at her hand silently.
She glances down, looking entirely surprised to find Joe's knife there.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
There's a flip Joe's eyes can't entirely track, and then the knife is held out to her, handle first, and the woman is looking at her expectantly again.
What?
Joe says. She weighs her options. She doesn't know what monsters exactly wear a wire and steal your knife and then give it back. Not that she knows too many people who do that either, and there's something extremely odd about this one, besides all the other odd things. That's making Joe's spider sense tingle like crazy.
You're a hunter?
She says in the end, even though she doesn't have words for how unlikely that is.
No, the woman says.
Then she pauses thoughtfully. Well, kind of. A little. But not the same way.
She looks pleased.
I have no idea what that means,
Joe tells her.
That's okay, the woman says.
Well, just, what's your name?
There's a pause that's probably the most familiar thing about this conversation so far. Joe honestly expects the answer to be something like Courtney Love, except something less stupid. Too much time spent with the Winchesters is killing her faith in humanity.
Parker, the woman says.
She tilts her head and blinks.
It's nice to meet you.
Joe's never heard a more rehearsed-sounding line in her life, and considering too much time spent with the Winchesters, that's pretty amazing.
Sure, she says. It's great. I'm Joe. Look, are you here about the disappearances?
Parker shakes her head.
We're here about the grant scam.
You're scamming people?
No,
Parker says. Joe waits.
Yes.
She is going to take 2 weeks off after this one, come hell or high water. This is worse than spending time with the Winchesters. She wishes a little that her mom were here, since she's always been a lot better at scaring people into talking some damn sense. On the other hand, it's entirely possible that her mom would have shot this lady by now.
We're stopping the scam. We fight the bad guys when they're hurting people, Parker says.
See? Like hunters. Sort of.
You kill people who run scams?
We don't kill them, we scam them back.
Parker pauses, looking pleased again. Sometimes we taser them a little.
You know, what I'm realizing, Joe says, pulling her EMF meter back out and starting to inch away, is that this has nothing to do with me and it's none of my business. I'm just going to go away and look for non-scam-related ghosts, okay?
But we can help you, Parker says. Joe stops.
Do you even know anything about ghosts?
There's no such thing as ghosts, Parker says.
Joe snorts.
Yeah, I can see you're going to be a lot of help.
Not that she knows for sure what this thing is, but a ghost is always on your top 10 list.
Wait, how do you know about hunters but not believe in ghosts?
Parker shrugs.
We had a cursed boiler in the basement in one of the houses when I was a kid. That's different.
Cursed boilers are easier to believe than ghosts?
Yeah, Parker says. You should come talk to Nate. He'll figure it out.
Joe is seriously not going to let a civilian figure out her hunt for her. He'll either tell her it's all part of whatever convoluted scamming business they're involved in, or get his people caught in the crossfire.
Does this Nate guy believe in cursed boilers, too?
Parker blinks.
You think it's a cursed boiler?
Joe blinks back.
Not really.
Hell, maybe it is a cursed boiler. It's not like her day can become any more bizarre. She shouldn't think things like that. It might make the Winchesters show up.
She looks at Parker. Parker is looking at her expressionlessly, but it's somehow a hopeful, sort of almost excited lack of expression.
Parker!
A guy is pushing his way through the crowd towards them. He is dressed in the same kind of blended-in clothes as Parker is, but the expression he's wearing says a little too clearly that he'd like to be shoving people with a lot more energy. Joe shifts her stance before she even realizes it. No, this guy is a fighter. A second guy is shoving through after him, looking a lot more apologetic about it. Joe registers him and then dismisses him again. Tall and definitely built, but obviously pretty harmless. Maybe one of them is that Nate who's going to solve all her problems for her.
What do you think you're doing?
The first guy tells Parker.
Hey, good seeing you again,
the second guy tells Joe. She raises an eyebrow at him.
You find anything behind all those paintings?
This is definitely not her day.
No.
It was a long shot anyway.
Just because you find an inexplicable rune in one building a guy disappeared from doesn't mean all of them are going to have the same.
You don't walk off in the middle of...
The first guy gives Joe a very brief glance before focusing on Parker again.
A conversation. I can't be in two places at once. Hardison almost got...
Another quick glance. He opens his mouth again. Then apparently can't think of any good code word to use.
Maid?
Joe offers helpfully.
I did not get maid.
The second guy, Hardison, apparently, says. Then his brain clearly catches up with him.
Or maybe the other guy's glare does.
Who said anything about getting made? And you know what? People that sneak down corridors flipping paintings don't get to use that kind of judgmental tone.
I don't,
Joe says. But Parker is waving them all into silence impatiently.
This is Joe, she says. We're going to help her hunt something. It's not a ghost.
There is no such thing as ghosts,
the still nameless guy says, sounding at the end of his rope. Parker waves again, this time triumphantly.
Oh, you're an expert?
Joe says, a lot more snidely than she meant to.
She can feel a migraine coming on.
Getting into arguments with civilians about the supernatural is pretty much the exact same thing as getting into arguments with 12-year-olds on the internet.
We, nameless guy tells Parker, are in the middle of a job.
No glance this time. He must have given up on discretion.
This is more important, Parker says.
She pauses. And it's more interesting. It could be cursed boilers.
It's not cursed boilers, Joe says.
She realizes Hardison is giving her a sympathetic look.
Can't hurt to check, Parker says.
Right,
Joe says. I need to go.
Yeah, so do we,
Nameless Guy says.
Parker,
we're done here anyway, Parker says stubbornly. We won't do anything else until... That's not the point. Look, guys, maybe we... Joe backs away while they're... Are they poking each other? And slips out the door. Maybe she should come back tomorrow. If the pattern holds, she has 3 days to the next disappearance anyway.
You should let us help.
Joe looks up from the corner of the storage room, where she'd been in the process of stashing her equipment again.
There's a metal detector on the way out, too.
And curses under her breath. What's with today, anyway? The woman standing at the door. Dark hair, British accent, dressed just as well as the other three, but somehow looking much better in it. Smiles at her. Joe pushes to her feet and tries not to feel grungy. Listen, I don't know what your friend told you, but this isn't cursed boilers. It's not anything you've got any idea about. The woman's smile widens a little. You know, back 12 years ago or so, I was a hunter for a little while. Joe's pretty sure her eyes are actually bugging out.
Excuse me?
12 years can be a long time, probably. Hell, 12 years ago, she'd been a little kid. But this woman is pretty much the anti-hunter. If someone had shown Joe a picture of this woman and told her she'd been a hunter for a little while, Joe would believe it no problem, because she'd be assuming the little while was because she got herself killed after the first 5 minutes. Oh, not actually on the field, the woman says. Who says that? A hunter is a hunter anywhere. You see, there was a ring I needed very urgently, and the man who had it had this idea it was connected to... She waves an elegant hand. Some sort of portal. Joe gapes at her. You conned a hunter out of some kind of power ring because you wanted some pretty jewelry? Oh, I let him have it once I realized it was true.
She says it completely seriously, like,
yes, I graciously allowed someone to have this thing instead of doing the obvious thing and stealing it. It was an interesting 2 weeks up to that point, though. I'll never understand why you people are so obsessed with flannel. For no reason whatsoever. It's not like flannel isn't something 90% of hunters really do wear. Joe suddenly has a really bad feeling about this. You don't remember that guy's name, do you? She says. His name? The woman smiles. Of course, Bobby Singer. Do you know him? Joe sighs. Of course it would be. It is cursed boilers in the end. Joe can't even find it in herself to be surprised. The end.